Hello, everyone. It is Coach MJ here today. I'm going to rename myself. I hope everybody is having a fantastic Sunday. All right. So excited. So excited. Coach Lizzie is here with us. I will also tell you that on Sunday, I don't know if, how many of you know this, but I'm doing Invisalign, AKA Spark. And Sunday is the day that I change my things, and I feel like I'm talking weird. So today is the day. I have the new ones in. If it bothers you, let me know and I can take them out, but whatever. And I am also here, y'all, on my last Sunday in my 40s. What? The next time y'all see me on a call, I will be 50. That's crazy, crazy to me. Next Friday, Good Friday, I turn 50. What? Can't believe it. I think I'm going to love my 50s too. 40s were good. I think 50s are going to be better. All right. You are here for open coaching. Coach Lizzie is in the chat and in the Q&A. If you have questions that you want me to answer, if there is time at the end, I will answer them. Just put them in the Q&A. She's typing in all caps, all the things. All you have to do to be coached is raise your hand. Raise your hand and you shall be coached. You shall be coached. Well, if we get to everybody, we're here for 2 hours. I will get to as many of you as I can. Oh yeah, thank you, Lizzie. Mark your thing to everyone. Yeah, I'm hanging on. I'm not 50 yet. I got till Friday. I'm hanging on to my 40s, like for dear life. I'm hanging on. But my kids are all coming next week. My daughter's flying from California. My other baby's coming home from the beach. My other baby's coming home from college. So, and then I'm having a birthday party. So I'm excited about that. Who doesn't love a good birthday party? But then I'm planning it and doing all the shit. I was like, whose dumb idea was that? Oh, yeah, it was mine. It was mine. I will tell y'all, though, I always remind myself about birthdays. You know, only look to your past. That's what we say here at No BS. It's going to help move you forward. So I was struggling with my turning 50, but the year I turned 30, I was pregnant and I had diabetes. I had gestational diabetes. So I couldn't have wine. I couldn't have cake. I was about 2 months, well, about 5 weeks from delivering a baby. And so I'm like, it won't be that bad. At least there will be wine and cake. So there's that, right? Like it won't be as bad as turning 30. All right. We have Melissa coming up first. Melissa, let's see what you have to coach on today and we'll get after it. Zoom has done an update and just shit's popping up. I ain't never seen it before. So if I mess y'all up, let me know because it's shit I've never seen before. I'm like, what the heck? All right.
Okay.
Unmute yourself and let's go.
All right. Hello.
Hey, Melissa, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
So, I've been a No BS member since June of 22. This is the first time I've gotten on a live coaching call.
Oh my gosh, welcome.
I watch the replays all the time, but I told myself I was going to log in today. I have done everything to try to stop binge eating cookies at night,
Okay.
and I'm still like 3, 4 days a week. It's like my mind gets taken over by aliens, and I'm
Okay.
just eating the food, and it's holding me back because I'm not that far from my goal weight.
Okay.
And I just can't seem to get it under control.
Okay. Were you binging cookies more in the past? Are you like at a better place with binging? Is it the same?
I feel like at a better place sometimes.
Well, I'm not
You
asking how you
know,
feel. Like
yeah.
before, when you first started your no BS journey, how many nights a week were you binging cookies?
I think before my journey, I was probably binging snacks every night mindlessly, not really like conscious that it was contributing to anything, not really like, you know,
So you
dialed
leveled
into
up
it.
from like 7 days
Right.
to 3 or 4 days. So first
Right.
of all, like realize you're making progress on it. Okay.
Okay.
And then my other question is just, I mean, it's just a question. Why do you keep cookies in the house? If you know that's your go-to, why do you keep cookies?
You know, I'm not the only person in the house. There are other family members here who eat snacks. You know, I do think we've cut back on number of snacks in the house, and we've really gotten a lot healthier as a household. But you know, I have kids, and they're gonna eat cookies.
What would happen if you took the cookies away for 2 weeks? What if you just like said, you know what? I notice I'm eating these cookies 3 or 4 nights a week. I'm eating the heck out of them. For a couple of weeks, y'all mind if I don't have cookies in this house?
I don't know if it's necessarily because there it's like I will find something else to binge on.
Okay. So
It's
tell me.
more just the action of the eating.
Okay. So what happens on those days?
You know, obviously I've put a lot of thought into it. I'm a very like when Corinne says, you know, second shift, I'm like there. I work full time. I run a business. I'm an attorney. I'm in litigation. My son's six. He's super busy. You know, I come home and it's like dinner, activities, homework, you know. So I don't have that time to myself that ideally I would like,
Okay.
you know, and I think that that's a big part in the mix. Is I'm a person who probably needs more me time than I can get right now. And I'm
Okay.
okay with that, but I just feel like it kind of manifests itself in ways like that.
Okay, so what you work second
Yeah.
shift every day, right? So why aren't you binging every day? Why, what's different on those nights?
I mean, I do have a lot of good self-talk. I think like yesterday, I binged last night.
Okay.
And, you know, it was a long Saturday. You know, like you just, you know, it's hard because, you know, I hear the word mom probably like 100 times a day. And I just feel like some days I just hit my limit where I'm like, I can't cope anymore, you know?
Okay. What does it mean I can't cope?
I mean, I feel like because I'm a working mom, I feel like when I'm available, I have to like doing the things. I have to be like crafts, games, sports, hanging out together. You know, I have to be engaged because I have limited time, and then I feel really pushed and pulled because I don't have any time to myself.
Why do you have to be engaged all the time? What does it mean if you're not?
Just that I'm not, you know, I'm already, because I don't get home until like dinner time.
Okay.
And then, you know, on weekdays. So you know, I take my son to school. My husband picks him up. I don't get the after school time. I get home. You know, I've got to make dinner. Sometimes I have work to do. I'm trying to like shoehorn everything in. And I feel like ideally he would get more time with me than he does. So if I've got the time available and I'm not using it on parenting, then I'm not doing everything I can.
Why is it super important for you to give him that much in the evenings? Why does it matter that
Well,
much?
he wants He wants to be like with me, you know. It's like
Why is it? I mean, we know what he wants, right? Like, we know what he wants. Why is it important for you to do that second shift so kid focused on him and what he needs? Why is that important to you?
Because I feel like if I'm not engaged with him, he's gonna watch TV or like do screen time.
He
And
will.
yeah, and I don't want as much screen time. So I feel like it's kind of on me to like interrupt
Why
that.
don't you want him to have more screen time?
I don't feel like it's healthy. I kind of worry about it. I worry like, you know, my stepdaughter's 17 and she's from that generation that was like the first like social media generation. And I don't feel like it's been the best for her. So with my son, I'm trying to be like a lot more conscientious.
Okay. But that's a difference in the story, right? I have to do these things. I have to be engaged. I have got to be on. I got to be Bozo the Clown and keep him entertained, or he's going to go off the deep end, wayward into social media. Instead of, I see what happened with my stepdaughter. I don't think that's the best path for him. And right now, it is super important to me to do these things for him so that he goes on a different path. There's a lot of parents making another choice, but that's not how I want to raise my son right now. Because right now, he has all the power. The device has all the power. If I don't do these things, this terrible thing will happen. So I have to. I'm saving my son instead of. There are a lot of parents that feel differently than me. Lots that are just as happy as a clam for them just to sit in front of a device. That's not how I choose to parent my son. It is important for me to put on a song and dance every night to keep him off the screens. Then that's your choice. It's your decision. It's important for you.
Yeah, well, and he does. He will go. He's got lots of other things he does. So it's, I just think, you know, with my job, I'm a divorce attorney. So, you know, sometimes I spend 8 hours kind of like, it feels like almost like managing emotions, you know.
Babysitting divorcees.
Right, because it's a
Yeah.
lot, you know, and so it's like sometimes I just get home and I'm already at capacity. And then, you know, you walk in and it's like, it's loud. It's, you know, I just don't have any transition time. And I've tried a lot of things to like get there, and it just doesn't seem to work out. I feel like I just hit a wall around 7 p.m. where it's like, okay, like I'm at my max. And the only way it's like, okay, what do I do to kind of like just get past that?
Okay. What does trans like what would transition time look for you? Like for you?
Well, if I bought a second house that no one lived at and I just went there for
Yeah.
an hour, you know. I don't know what that would look like. I mean, I would like to like maybe get home and like walk on my treadmill for half an hour. Or sometimes I do like the VR workout, the Supernatural. I like to do that, you know, but it's just timing of when I get home. It's like kind of got to like get all the things done. And I feel like I just walk in and it's like the dogs are there, my son's there, and it's like, what are we going to do for dinner? And we plan ahead, but it's just like, oh my God, just let me take my nylons off, you know? So
Oh
it
God,
just
and you're still wearing nylons. That's enough to pivot anybody against the wall. God bless. Woo, honey. I'd hit a wall too if I had to wear pantyhose every day. Just saying. Right. So your perfect is 30 minutes, either walk or a VR, whatever.
Yeah.
What about 10 minutes? Do you have 10 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, 10 minutes could probably like be a good reset. I don't know if that would like I don't know if doing the workout like when I get home, like doing I don't know if that would result in me like later on not wanting to binge. It just
Okay, this is so good because you're like, if I had this transition time, it would make things so much better and it would make, help me from hitting my wall. And now I'm like, let's have some transition time. And you're like, I don't think that's going to help. But in your head, you're like, it's this one thing. If I could solve this one problem, that would help me. But it's what you're thinking in that moment. Because here's the thing, I got nothing left to give. Is that even true?
Is what even true?
I got nothing left to give. At 7 o'clock, I hit the wall. I cannot, I'm like, I'm done. Are you done?
I mean, I keep going.
So you're not done, right?
Yeah.
Right. So in that moment, you're like, I just need a break. I need a break. You know what? Cookies. Snack, whatever it is, that is going to help me push through to the evening, the rest
Right.
of this evening. What conversation do you have on the other side of that ever?
Okay. Sometimes I hit the wall and I'm like in I'm circling the pantry. And I do think like this is going to make you actually more stressed. Like this isn't going to help. This
Okay,
is
yeah.
not the, what else can I do? I put my son in the bath, and because he's old enough, I don't have to be in the room. And I watch a TV show in his room, or I like bring my computer up and kind of like chill out a little bit, maybe journal or like kind of like relax, or read a book or something. I mean, that kind of like helps me, the self-talk on the days that I'm successful at kind of conquering the urge is, basically, I can't think of it. Like, just, kind of like looking for other solutions. Like, I know what the problem is. I'm irritable.
Yeah.
I'm kind of worn out. Like what could I do besides this? That's going to like, sometimes it's like just finding like a little mindless activity to do for a while. Like, it could be, I try to get into a more of a flow state, like doing something where I can kind of like go on autopilot, so it might be like folding laundry with a TV show on or something like that.
Okay. And then none of that works on the days that you have a binge, or do you even try that?
I feel like some days I try. I feel like some days it's just like it's so much of an automatic habit because I've been doing it for so long. Some days it's really hard to like get over the hump of like, okay, like because my habit brain is queued up of like this is, stimulus response,
Yeah.
like. And so it's very hard to kind of like interrupt that. And I think those are like, because I know that the more I interrupt it, it'll get easier. And sometimes I tell myself that, like, okay, it feels uncomfortable today to interrupt this, but if I can string together like a good chunk of successful days, knowing it's not going to be perfect, interrupting it, eventually it will be easier. Because there's a lot of things that I have successfully changed since I started No BS. One thing I really wanted to do was stop drinking, and I completely stopped drinking. I haven't drank for a year and a half. I love it. Drinking wasn't a great habit for me because I had trouble stopping when I wanted to, and it just became a habit that it was easier for me to give up. And but that, years I wanted to, and then I finally, like, I got to the place where I was able to do it. Like, I've changed a lot of my eating habits. I used to feel like I couldn't have a cup of coffee without cream in it, and I drink black coffee every day, and it's fine, and I like it, and it doesn't bother me.
Okay.
I've been able to, like, scale back on, like, putting cheese on things, and all of these things felt really hard at some point, and then they got to a point where they were easy because it's something clicked, and it was like, okay, this isn't a problem anymore. I don't feel
Okay.
deprived. It doesn't create drama for me. And I want to get there with the nighttime snacking because I know I'm capable of it because I've done things that are much harder for myself. Like, quitting drinking was really, if you'd asked me like 5 years ago if I could give up alcohol, I'd be like, I've been working on that for 15 years. I can't do it. And then it just kind of like place. I know that I can organize my thoughts and overcome hard things. And I've made like huge changes. And this just seems to be something that is just tripping me up to the point where it's like, why is this? Why can I do all these other things and not fix this?
Okay. So the truth of the matter is, you're working on that. It's not like you said, it's not like alcohol where you're like, I'm just not going to drink. And then anytime you want to go have a drink, you're like, no, I'm not doing that. Because you don't actually, you can just not keep alcohol in the house, or it's just an it when you actually cut it out. But food's going to be there, like you said. So you've cut it down around 50% already. So on the other nights, you need, because you said it's a habit. I just go on autopilot. I just go in there, whatever it is. What triggers have you set up for yourself, or have you tried that will interrupt the pattern in the moment?
Like planning, like when I feel like the habit, like having like a plan of action.
Yeah, like for me, I used to have on my refrigerator a sticky note that said, "Is this worth the time it will take you to lose the weight?" I have a wine cooler. So when I was working on decreasing my wine, there was a sticky note on there, and it would say, "Is this on your plan to remind?" Like, and I'd be like, "Ooh, I didn't plan it tonight." I kept a discovery worksheet in my snack drawer. I have a drawer, not a like we don't keep them in the pantry. It's a drawer. And I would keep a discovery worksheet in there to remind me that if I didn't plan it or I wasn't hungry, I was like, oh, that's not like, and it would like shake me, like wake me up to remind me of what my goals were. Have you put any external triggers in place? So when that habit loop kicks off and you're like, zombie sort of walk into the kit. Next thing you know, you're like face down in the cookies. Have you created an external trigger?
I don't think I have.
Okay.
And I like for dinner, I was like, something I did to work on overeating at dinner was eating at the table. Like, I felt like I noticed that if I ate at the table, I would stop it enough. And if I sat on the couch with my husband and we had the TV on, I would get a second portion and I would overeat. Yeah, I mean, I think I could probably come up with like some type of, pattern for when I've, because I feel like I'm to the point, like it's emotional eating, but it doesn't even feel like emotional eating anymore because I feel like I've solved the emotional quotient of it. It just is like, it is, it feels so automated and it's, yeah, I need to end. Okay.
You just need to interrupt the pattern, because I think you're right. Now it has become, it's just what you do when you get that wall or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so for me, I was a I told this story on the new First 30 Days call the other day, and it was like I was grab assing food so bad, I didn't even know. Like I had no idea till I joined No BS. And I would be about 7 or 8 bites into like tasting and grabbing shit while I was cooking dinner. So I just started chewing gum. Like when I was
Okay.
cooking dinner, right? And I was like, it just interrupted my habit. 'Cause I would even be reaching, I'd be like, I got gum in my mouth. Like I can't, you know, whatever. And it's like, it was not that I didn't want to stop. I was not aware of what like the issue was. I just would be 3 or 4 bites in before I would even realize what was going on. And it was just that little trigger reminder for myself. Like, if I'm going to eat on the couch and watch TV, I fix my plate and I put the food away. I don't have to do that if I'm sitting at the table. Because, like you said, if I'm
Right.
sitting on the couch, like, I'll be like, just keep on eating. I'll serve myself a little bit less and I'll go ahead and put the food away. So I
Well,
have to be more
sometimes,
mindful.
yeah. So sometimes I keep this bag of these like vitamin C lozenges on my nightstand. And sometimes when I'm in bed, if I have like a snack urge, I have one of so some, that I could try. I've never been a real gum person, but I could try chewing gum.
Yeah, or I mean, put in a peppermint or whatever it is, like just
Yeah.
to interrupt that habit. Maybe put the snacks in a different place. Like even we talk about a lot of times people who sit in their eating chair.
Right.
It's just like moving your seat is enough of a trigger to make it feel a little bit off, you know? If
Yeah.
you just move your snacks. So you go to the snacks and you're like, oh, wait a minute. They're not even, and then you're like, what am I even doing in here? How do I even end up here?
Right. No, I agree. I think yeah, I mean, it's easy for me to kind of fall in the trap of like, oh, I still need to solve this problem, and I do think it's solved in my head 'cause you know, I've been working on it for a while. I really, you know, I dig in. I work on things, you know, I talk to my counselor, I watch all the coaching calls, I do the worksheets. I really don't feel like yeah, I mean, you could diagnose it as nighttime stress because it's like I've got all, you know, I hit all the notes for it. But I really, you know, now that we're talking about it, I kind of see where it's more of just a long ingrained habit, you know, that, and I know that because I'm like, just do it for a couple of nights, but then it's like so hard, you
And
know.
it is going to be uncomfortable, right? Like you already said that a minute ago. Like it's going to be uncomfortable, and that's okay. I'm sure not drinking was uncomfortable. Not putting creamer in your coffee was a little uncomfortable at first. It felt different.
Yeah, no, all of those things, like they were hard at first, and then they be and I know that intellectually, and I'm like, it's like, you know, you tell yourself all the right things, and then you're still like doing the activity, and you're like, why? So, okay,
But
well,
I mean,
I can
you've
come up with some
already
ideas
come
on
so
that.
far. So now it's time to try something different to see if you can level up and take away another day. Like you've already taken away 3 to 4 days. Just see if you can get it down one more day.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, because honestly, my preference is really to not snack at night because I'm not hungry. I eat, you know, I eat enough food. I eat enough at dinner. It's not a hunger issue. Once in a while, I'll kind of have like a light day on food, and I know when I'm hungry at night because I can't go to sleep. And I'll have something like small to eat, and I'll go right to sleep. So I kind of know when I'm hungry, as opposed to like feeling, you know, like it's not, that's not the issue. It's just more of, yeah, the habit-driven snacking.
I mean, try that and see if it works. Just a little bit of a pattern interrupt to remind you of what you're trying to do.
Okay.
Because you sound like you got your thoughts, but, and it's also, though, I really do want you to watch how you're talking about it. Like, you are in it when I was losing my weight, I was working full time as a PT in a nursing home, heavy hella work. I had 3 kids. One was the competitive dancer. I didn't have a lot of time, y'all. Like I didn't Like, there was not me time was like silence. I would not have on a thing coming home from work. That was my transition. Like, I was not going to get transitioned once I walked in this house. So I had to find a different way, a different thing, and call it transition until it felt like it was a transition. I had a rule until I take off my scrubs, don't nobody talk to me. And they honored that. After I'd be like, Nip. And I would come in and they'd be like, and she did my shirt and she did my, and I'm like, yeah, my scrubs. Still got on my scrubs. Can't talk to me yet. And after a couple of weeks, my transition was leave the nursing home, silence in the car, pull in my garage, go in my room, change out of my scrubs. And then I emerged as second shift mom. And that was my transition time. There was not time for a walk. There was not time for whatever. It was just the season I was in. So I had to create that space for me. But if I was like, and then I have to take her to dance and I have to listen to their bitching and then I have to do this and whatever, it would never have felt like it was my decision. I had a way I wanted to parent my kid, kids. I had certain things I wanted to do for them, and it was important. And had to carve out time when I could, and now I do have more time.
Well, and I'm very aware that, every the stage we're in now, it's temporary. It's not going to be forever, and I want to do the all the things that I think are important and, make that a priority. And I don't, because I was, I was involved with my stepdaughter since she was two. So, that first time you're parenting, like, everything feels like forever, you're like, this is never going to end. But I'm kind of past that where I'm an older mom and son easier for me, like when I'm, in the trenches of like bedtime hell and just want to go lay down to be like, this isn't forever. This is someday he's going to go up to bed by himself and you're going to go, oh, I wish you wanted to snuggle. And it's okay. It's okay. It's okay to be frustrated right now and not want to do it and power
Yeah.
through, and it's not forever and it's okay. So I'm good
Yeah.
about telling myself that.
I know. I mean, and it is like that, that country song, you're gonna miss this. I can't hardly listen to it. But like the other day, I cleaned out my car, and my daughter is now 2 years po she's a sophomore in college now. And I got a new car last year, and then I took it to be cleaned the other day. And I literally went to the car wash. Y'all, I'm gonna get emotional now. I cleaned out my car. And I did not find one. Y'all gonna think I'm crazy as hell. I did not find one fake eyelash. And that was like, it killed me. I was like, where are the, like, that's gone. I don't. And then the other parents were posting about it's dance competition season. And I was running all over the state and all this other stuff. And like, I used to pick up my water bottle and there would be like a fake eyelash stuck to the bottom. Like, I'm sitting in the car wash and I'm like, I would give anything to have a car full of fake eyelashes. And in the moment, it felt really hard. But then, I was losing weight at that time. And I was reminding myself, like, this is not going to last forever. I get to spend time with her. This is super important to me. A lot of moms don't do this for their kid. And I'm in a place where I get to. And I love it. And it didn't always feel true, but I had to remind myself. And that's what you have to do too. I mean,
And
you're
I'm
working to
really,
provide a life for him. And then it's important for you to do this stuff at night.
right. And I'm really grateful to No BS, because it's like, I feel like it's one of the few places where like Corinne can be very honest about not every moment of parenting your child is going to be fulfilling and you're going to love it. And it's nice to have an outlet where you can actually, that can be okay,
Yeah.
because it's made me feel okay with being like, kind of like not always feeling Like, this is the light of my life. I can't wait to go read this book, to my child at night. It's
Yeah.
okay to feel that way and not feel like I'm a bad mom. So
Exactly.
that's helped me tremendously, and I feel like I've moved on past that, but I don't know if I would have gotten there if that hadn't been for having this outlet of it's okay not to be in love with every moment of parenting, and you don't have to feel guilty about it. It doesn't mean you're a bad mom.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, if you think about every other area of our lives, like, I love coaching, but there are parts of this job I don't love.
Right.
I mean, there, I said yesterday about five times, I hate my husband. Like,
Yeah.
whatever. I wish he would shut the fuck up. I said that a bunch yesterday because he was in a foul mood. And being my best friend's best friend is not always easy. And that's okay. But somehow parenting, we put it in a different space.
Right.
Like it needs to be euphoric because that's all we ever see is
Yeah.
parents and how amazing it is. And I just love spending time. They're my best friend, whatever. And parenting is the one relationship that we do not give ourselves grace for, not loving every minute. So one
Right.
thing we do that we're always like, I like exercise after I'm done, but it sure does suck. And we're like, yeah, it does. But it's like, I love my kid, but sometimes I don't like being his mom every day. And it's like, oh, I can't say that.
I know, it's like when you have to play the superheroes. Like I never want to play superheroes. I don't want to do it. It's like when I used to
No.
have to play the Barbies. I'll do it, but it's okay to admit it's not my favorite thing to do.
No. I mean, sitting in a hard ass chair at a dance competition for 3 days was never my favorite thing either. It just
Yeah.
wasn't. And so it's just giving yourself some grace and compassion that not every minute's going to be great. Transition, what is an ideal transition period after work needs to shift. I just get it. It's going to look different than like my ideal.
Right.
And that's okay too. But this is just the way I want to do my kid right now. This is the way I want to parent. And then just change that pattern to make it more difficult to go on autopilot on the days that you're trying to go on autopilot.
Okay. I'll think of a couple, like maybe make a list of like five or six things to try.
Okay. Well, thank
Okay.
you. I'm so glad you raised your hand.
Well, thank you. All
All righty. I'll talk to you later.
right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. That was really good, y'all. That was good. Yes. Not all. Somebody asked me when I was going to PT school, I'd already had my daughter. And they said, what the hardest part about being a mom? I was like, no matter what my day is like, I have to go home and be in a good mood, be happy, be a clown, be compassionate, can't have a headache. Like it really is, it's not the greatest. Leslie. But you do miss it. All right, Leslie. Well, I tried. I tried, Leslie. Let's see. Oh, she disappeared. Maybe she's coming. Oh, she's coming. She's coming, Leslie. All right. You probably, Leslie, need to turn on your video.
I think I
There
got it.
you are. Hello,
Oh,
Leslie.
hi, MJ. I'm so excited. I've never been coached.
Oh
I've
my God,
been,
two in a row.
I know, two in a row. I've been a member for about a year and a half. During that time, I was on Monjaro as well.
Okay.
I'm getting nervous. What I
I'm
want to be
nervous.
coached on is I came off of Monjaro. It's been a couple of months now, and at first I was able to maintain the weight loss, but the whole time I was on it, I was just constantly battling the thought that when I come off of this, I'm going to regain all my weight. So
At first, I was able to maintain the weight loss. In the last couple of weeks, I saw the scales starting to creep up. And in the last probably 10 days, I think in order to protect myself or to not think about it, I don't know, to not have that fear of the weight gain, I've just been eating everything in sight. And what I realized yesterday was I feel like if it just happens, I won't have to deal with the pain of it. So the faster I gain this weight back, the less it'll hurt or something. It's a very painful thing to realize. But I just want to work through, I don't know, I want to let go of that painful thought and move forward and try to get back to losing weight on my own because the Manjaro is no longer an option. I'm so thankful I had that opportunity. It was wonderful, but I need to use the steps that I didn't use during that because of the Manjaro and start using them now to regain, to lose again what I've regained in the last few weeks and get back onto losing again.
Okay. I am going to speak to everybody on this call because I know there's a lot of people listening who are currently taking weight loss meds. And I'm going to use you as a cautionary tale, Leslie, because a lot of folks are given full and complete power to weight loss drugs. It's taken away my appetite. It's doing this thing. And then if for some reason you need to come off, the most important thing is to already have your habits in place. So keep them up. Keep paying attention to your body. Do your water. Keep planning so that if you ever do need to come off of the medication, you have your practices in place. But what we're finding is a lot of people are like, I don't need to plan. I don't need the medicine's doing it for me.
I so wish I had all the food tracker, all the things I planned and what I did and did not eat and how I wish I had that data now because I could go back to that and
Right.
say, this is for sure how I was
Oh,
eating and this is for sure how I was losing. I wish I would have.
that is so good. And I'm glad that you came in here and you said all of that because I think that is where so many people are given the power away, not taking ownership for the habits that they're still doing. And then, like you said, it goes away and then you have to kind of start over with your habits, but with muscle memory, and you'll get right back into it, right? And so you said you also had this thought that if you went off, you were going to gain all the weight back.
I battled that the whole time. And the whole time I would tell myself, I am learning how to lose weight eating the right way. I'm making food choices. I will continue to make food choices. Nothing stuck. Wasn't able to get the thoughts straight.
Okay. So, what habits are you noticing are creeping back in that are habits you don't want to have?
Binging. I didn't cut completely out binging while I was on Manjaro. I wanted to eat the way I wanted to eat the rest of my life while I was on Manjaro. So I still had special desserts once in a while, but it was a small portion of a special dessert, and I enjoyed what few bites I had of it and said, that's enough and that's good. Now, in the last week, it's been back to feeling like a Hoover. Like a vacuum cleaner, like going out of my way to drive to new places to buy all the things and eat them all on the way home and then have dinner with my family. Like the crazy, awful things I have not done in a year and a half. In the last 10 days, it's scary because I'm back to doing that again.
So what are
And
you
I
saying?
have to stop that.
What are you saying before you're driving to go get the stuff? What's the conversation?
The
Is that
conversation
when
is,
the faster I do this, the less it's going to hurt?
I think so. It's not a conscious thought. It's just when I was like thinking through it yesterday, that's what came up. But I feel like I have no conscious thoughts when it's happening, other than I feel a pressure and an urge to hurry up, get that food and get it in you.
What would happen if you didn't?
I don't know. If I didn't go get those things, I don't know. I've never stop to say what would happen if I didn't. It's
Well, here
just
we
so
are.
compelling.
Here we are on the call. You tell me, what do you think would happen if you didn't go get it?
I think I would get angry because I felt like I wasn't allowed to do that thing I wanted so badly in the moment. And then I think maybe with some time that would dissipate, and I would probably be thankful that I hadn't gone through with it.
Okay.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's it gonna take to lose weight without Monjaro?
Eating like I did when I had Manjaro, making the smart food choices and putting my fork down and paying attention to hunger and fullness. Because with Manjaro, it was very clear. I wasn't hungry much, but I knew exactly when enough hit, that it was so clear. And I had no problem putting my fork down.
Is it still
And then
clear when you've had enough?
I don't think so. I don't think it is because I'm just eating so much more. And I know I'm eating past enough. I know that, but maybe that's where I need to start, is just when I realize I've got to enough. Even if it's past where I want to be for enough, when I realize I've gotten there, I have to stop instead of saying, well, I already blew it. Might as
Okay.
well finish what's here.
What were your cues on the weight loss drug that you had had enough?
It was a thought. It was I would like start looking for the best bites, or I would just look to my phone, and that's when I knew, okay, I'm done. It was no longer I was no longer thinking about what was on my plate or whatever, and I it was just a switch that went off in me that was like, okay, put your fork down, you're done. It was clear.
Do you still have those same thoughts when you've gotten to enough?
No, I feel like now I don't hear anything until I'm full and almost uncomfortable. And then it's, oh, you blew past that.
So good for you to know, though, right? Like, what could you do? We were just talking about this a minute ago. What would be something really good as you're trying to figure out what your cues really sound like or feel like off of the Manjaro? What is something you could do in the meantime to stop yourself from blowing past enough?
Serve myself half.
Yeah,
For
right.
sure. For sure.
100%. 100%.
Okay.
Give yourself the
That's
chance to hear the thought.
okay.
Yeah, for sure. Because I bet you $100 on this call, your cues are very similar. But you probably went into dinner or whatever thinking, you know, I'm not going to be able to eat much of this. It won't take me much to get full.
Right, I probably did. Yep.
I bet you that's the difference. It's the thought
Yep.
that you went into dinner with. And now that thought is gone. Now your thought is, it was so easy on Manjaro. This is so much harder.
Right. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
It's been all I've been rehearsing for the last at least 2, 3 weeks. So
Yeah. It was so much
that's very
easier.
helpful.
I could hear so much more clearly on the medicine, and now
Right.
it's so much harder.
That has been what I've been rehearsing for sure. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can start with serving myself half and waiting for hunger. I practice that a lot on Manjaro, so that's good.
Yeah. Are you really good at your hearing when you've had enough without the Monjaro?
No. Like I said, I haven't given myself the opportunity probably in the last few weeks because I've just been like, well, I'm a vacuum cleaner now, so that's how I'm living my life. But I think serving myself half will give me that opportunity to at least stop and assess.
And what about the hunger side of doable hunger? How are you doing on that side?
I was doing very well until I decided I was a vacuum cleaner. I was doing very well before that. I'm good at waiting until I get hungry.
Okay. So all
So
that's happened is there's some thoughts that you have about weight loss on weight loss drugs. And there are some thoughts that you have about weight loss off weight loss drugs. One was easy, one was hard. And since it's inevitable, you kept telling yourself you're going to gain weight. And then you have an urge and you're like, might as well. Why would I sit in discomfort? I'm going to gain weight anyway. Might as well. And I'm going to tell you, and this is a good opportunity for you to practice to borrow belief from other folks. There are people in this membership right now who are not on weight loss drugs, who have been able to figure it out, listen to their body. There are people currently in this membership on weight loss drugs that have lost no weight and or are gaining. Because you made a decision when you noticed that you were wanting to look on your phone or your mind was wandering or whatever. You're like, look, I'm enough. Put the fork down. Good go. There are other folks who are like, fuck it. I hadn't eaten that much anyway. I can have a little more. Not that big a deal. You know, I haven't eaten very much today. And they're not gaining weight. I mean, they are not losing weight. They're gaining weight. When you were on Mounjaro, yes, it cut the chatter down. Not saying it didn't. But you had amazing thoughts and amazing habits. And the amazing will to listen. That's what made the difference in that journey. Every decision you made, every bit of water you had, every time you made the decision to listen to the thought, oh, I've had enough, and you put your fork down, that was all you. Manjaro did not come and slap the food away. You did it. You owned every bit of that.
I did, and I'm proud of that. I did work hard.
Yes. And that's what I'm saying. You gave it all away to the weight loss drugs. And now that it's gone, that means all your power somehow vanished with it. You're not giving yourself credit for all the decisions you made on it.
I don't want that.
And look, I mean, meds or no meds, the choice is yours. But by God, like, and we hear this all the time at camp. We're getting ready for camp. You know, we're gonna have camp here, coming up here. Few in-person spots left. But people come up to me, come up to Corinne, come up to Betsy, come up to all of us and say, thank you so much. Like, you changed my life. I didn't do shit. I sat on a Zoom call and words came out my damn mouth. You did all the work. I didn't, you know, magic did not spew forth that made your desire for food go away. Don't give me that credit. I didn't do shit. There are a lot of people in here that hear my voice and don't do the things. But that's the thing. Like, you gave your power away. Like, that's the one thing I think, no BS, like, for weight loss drugs, because we got a lot of members on weight loss drugs. You still own that shit. You're still making good choices. And that's the thing. You had all the power then. Now, were the thoughts better? Yes. Did some of the chatter get turned down? Yes. But all that's happened is now you've like level one chatter. Level two chatter, you know how to manage. You became a boss at that. You started listening to the thoughts. You paid attention to them. You made it a priority. Now the thoughts are up to a level five. You could handle two. Now the thoughts have turned back up. You're going to have to be a little bit more vigilant, a little bit more mindful, maybe set in some, like we talked about, serving yourself half for a while to get better at hearing those thoughts because they're a little bit different. And that's the, are you planning now?
Well, no, I want to. I will
Go
now.
ahead. But I
All I could
want
think
you to
about all week was
plan.
on this call.
I want you to plan. And I really do, or I don't even care if you plan, but somewhere on your a mirror in your bathroom, somewhere where you're going to see it every day. I created the result on the drug, and I can create the result off the drug. Because you did that. And that's the thought error that is hosing you. Is that it was the medicine. It was the drug. It was the weight loss drug. It wasn't. It was you all along. I feel like Glinda the Good Witch. You've had the power all along, Dorothy. The only difference now is the thoughts have been turned up a little bit. That's it.
I feel like there were so many other good benefits with that drug. It really helped my mental health, and it really helped inflammation cut down too. I've noticed a huge difference with that, but that may be my food choices in the last couple of weeks
I
as
was
well.
about to say, girl, I have looked into those meds. Nowhere does it say cuts down inflammation.
Oh, it did.
But it was probably it was probably the foods that you make. So this is also good to know.
Been.
You probably, there are a lot of members like in that special diets subgroup who have inflammation, who have arthritis, and they know that if they really eat a lot of like white flour and sugar, it increases inflammation. And I bet you, if you had your food logs to go back on, you had eliminated a bunch of that.
I had cut it way down, that's for sure. Like I
And
said, I
now
told
you've
everything,
like
but
let them back in.
yeah, open the floodgates. I didn't just let them back in. I hoovered them
And
up.
so, right. So it is your food. It was not the drug. It was your food choices. Again, it was you. It was still you.
Okay. So if I make changes, I should be able to go back to feeling that good,
Yeah,
right?
because the drug isn't coming back.
It's
So
not.
now you're like, if it's the drug's result, then you're stuck feeling like shit. Oh, I noticed. I bet you I was eating a little bit less sugar and flour.
For sure.
And so now it's like, wonder if I go back to just eating a few bites of dessert instead of the whole dessert, like a great level up, if I'm gonna notice a decrease in my, like, put it on like that scientist. I wonder if it was me. I wonder if I decreased the amount of flour and sugar in my diet, like I did while I was on Mounjaro. I wonder if I'm going to start to feel a little bit better.
Yeah, that's a good experiment.
I mean, yeah. You know, it's the no BS way. Fuck around and find out. That's exactly how I got where I was. I am today. Fuck around and find out. I don't know. Sure is worth trying.
Thank you. This has been very helpful, and I'm so glad I got on the call.
I am too. And girl, it was you all along. You created the result with the medicine. You can create the same result off the medicine. And listen, as you're working through this, have you gone, take all this to ask coaches, have a back and forth. Lizzie's on this call. You can even say, attention, Coach Lizzie, because she's heard this entire coaching. She can help you work through these thoughts and you can have the back and forth conversation. You can have a coach in your pocket. You can work through it. Do you
Okay.
have an accountability partner?
I don't right now. I can get one though. I
Yeah.
can log in and put in the form.
Yeah. And then, I suggest like for somebody like you, like Marco Polo would be great. Like it would be such a great app for you and your partner to use. And when you have that urge to go drive somewhere and get something, hop on. Be like, I'm having this urge. I just want to talk it through. I'm going to talk it through. And if I still want to go, I'm going to go.
Okay.
But and just so that you have somebody on the other end listening to you.
Okay.
And use us as coaches. I mean, use us.
Okay. I will. Thank you so much. I appreciate all the
You are
time.
so welcome. You are so welcome. All right.
Well, bye.
Bye. I am so glad I got to coach on that, y'all. That was so good. That was so good. And thank you for raising your hand. All right, Jerry, you are up. Yes, thank you for putting the link into Ask Coaches. I'm telling y'all, for all of y'all who haven't been over there, we have leveled it up. Now you can have a back and forth conversation with a coach. They'll answer your question, ask you some questions. You can answer them back and just keep going on a thread. It's amazing. Jerry, unmute yourself. I'm going to ask you to unmute.
I think I've unmuted.
You have, and I hear you loud and clear, Jerry.
Hi, boy, Melissa, I identify. I'm a long ways from that, but boy, I do I identify.
Yeah.
I got here, I'm 77. I got here about 7 weeks ago as a result of gaining about 8 pounds after I had surgery and had limited, I had, I still have some limited ability to exercise, which has always been my go-to, is how I could overeat because I could exercise it off. 70 plus years this has been going on, diet mentality embedded. Since I got to here, it has healed so much. No BS, has healed so much diet mentality for me. And part of my diet mentality was, oh, get down into the 160s where I've, you know, where I was in high school. Now I'm going to do that. Well, doing some no BS, I realized that's not really what I want to do. That is just going to continue the fucking program or the fucking problem. And so I arrived at a goal weight, and I carry all of my weight in my trunk. I have thin legs, I have thin arms. It's all in my trunk, so I don't have an in waist, and I have a flat butt, and most of my weight is right in my lower abdomen. And when I do some meditations, they say, you know, she's talking about some stuff. She says, "Where do you feel that in your body?" I always feel it right in my abdomen, or right in my tummy. So here I am working through the maintenance program here. And really applying myself to it and going, oh, but I've got this fat tummy. And I don't look fat in pictures, but it is in my head. And I have my hands right on my belly now. I remember being pregnant and going, this is the happiest time of my life because it was okay to have a big belly. Anyway, I feel like this is all very first world problems, especially after listening to the last two persons who were on here. But it's something that I don't want to drive me back to think. The other fantasy I had was if I weigh less, my body shape changes. It doesn't change.
I
It
know,
gets
right?
smaller, but it doesn't change. I don't get a butt. I don't get a waist. I just get less of the kind of up and straight up and down. So anyway, it's about body stuff.
Well, I'm going to just say, like, I love what you said about like it's first world problems. We're doing our events this year. are built around body image. Like, we're doing Body Love Revolution in May is our event. We're talking for 3 days about what you think about your body, what you say about your body, how you feel about your body. Like, it's not first. And we're gonna add this other piece. So I don't know if y'all know or not, but Kathy Hartman, one of our coaches, she used to be on the podcast a long time ago with Krim, but she's going through like somatic kind of coaching courses. And if you attend virtually, at lunch, you get like an hour Zoom coaching call. So it's like open coaching for folks who are doing it virtually. And she is going to start those sessions off with sort of like bringing the temperature down on what you're feeling, because we're going to uncover some stuff that you're thinking about your body. It because it is a big our thoughts that we have about our body. I have a skinny mirror in my bathroom near my office, like right back here down the hallway. And even like I was getting ready to get on this call, it's like I better go to the bathroom. And I was washing my hands and I looked up and I was in the skinny mirror. And I'm like, I wish I looked like this all the time because I look so much better like this. And I was like, girl, you look fine. Like, I even still have those thoughts, right? Like, they still come up, but I just want you to know that you're normal and we all have thoughts about our body. So, one thing, like, when you think about your stomach, what are some thoughts you have about it? It shouldn't be this way. Like, what are the thoughts about it?
That it's big. I think of it as being big. And being I when I was before I got to be my age, I was 5'9", weighed 160 pounds, but I always thought that I was the big person. I was taller than the kids in my class, but I was always like the big girl. I was always the big girl. And I am so not the big girl anymore. Everything has, I weigh more, but my body looks like I'm kind of going away.
Okay.
So big, that's what it is.
What does big mean?
Big means undesirable, means, everything about women. For me, women are supposed to be tiny, petite, soft voice, don't get angry, all that stuff. And big people have, I have a big voice, I have a fairly big personality. And I've always felt like I was the big person, maybe sucking the air out of the room, like misplaced as a woman. Well, and plus, my sister and I were the last kids that my parents had, and he wanted boys, and we got named boy names, and we got raised as if we were boys, both my sister and I. And
Okay.
we are way on the spectrum of heterosexuals. But there's always been this thing that I was like too big.
Okay, so what happens to people who are too big?
People don't like them.
Okay.
People are scared of them.
Are people scared of you?
Sometimes, especially when I was younger, and I nurtured that. It was a way to let people don't come too close because you need to be afraid of me.
Are you still like that now? Or did you learn and you've changed?
I've learned and I've changed. And
Yeah.
maybe age takes it out of you. But yeah, I have learned that's not who I am, but that was a persona that I had, and I liked it for then. It served me well for that part of my life. It doesn't serve me anymore. I don't it doesn't I don't have that, except I have the thinking that, oh, I'm big. I've got this big tummy and I'm big.
Okay. So it means you're undesirable.
Oh, yeah.
What proof do you have that you're undesirable?
I believe that I've been married 3 times and I have 2 children, and I came to believe that I'm a solitary, and that means I don't have the gene to be in a relationship with somebody else in the house. And so I don't know if I have like adopted that, or if in fact I am undesirable, and that's the reason I've been divorced 3 times.
Well, at least three people desired you at one point.
Well, one of my married twice.
My God. So at least two people found you. Well, he found you so much desirable, he came back for more.
Yeah. Have you ever heard nurse with a purse? That's what I was to him. I was a nurse with a purse.
My gosh.
Anyway,
Right.
that's yeah, I don't know. I don't really care if I'm just, I mean, being desirable to another person is not, that isn't in my arena, my hula hoop at all. But I'd like to be at peace because no BS way of eating has brought me peace more than the loss of the 6 or 7 pounds I lost. It has brought me a peace with food and with the mental gymnastics that I thought I was never going to have. I thought I am going to go out of this world still with the mental gymnastics of eating and gaining and losing the same 10 pounds.
Okay. I want you to describe your stomach to me without using the word big.
Potty.
Just tell me the story of your t I haven't seen your stomach, and you're not going to stand up and show it to me.
No.
Tell me what it looks like, but you can't use the word big.
It sticks out so that I don't have a, it's not flat. It goes out. It now at this age, it kind of, it bends over. So I've got a space under it. I forget what that's called. I used to know what that was called. A
Like an
connect.
apron, sort of a
Yeah,
thing.
it's a bit of an apron. It's not an extreme apron. I've seen a lot of people in surgery with extreme aprons. This one is not, but I have to take care of that little space under it now. It's probably the normal tummy of somebody my age and my size.
We've all decided I'm still 49 until Friday. You just described my stomach.
Well, I've had it probably since I was 49 also.
So, but I want you to see in your description, it was like, I have a normal belly, probably for someone my age. How does that feel in comparison to big? Like when you say it's probably a normal body for a normal stomach for someone my age. Does that feel better than big?
Yeah, it does. With the, it's the other thing, and I wrote this to a coach the other day, was it's the feeling of I'm still fat. I have chosen a weight I want to be. I have peace with that. I don't want to be chasing a pant size. I don't want to be chasing another number. I want to learn to live in peace, but I still feel fat.
Okay. Why is that a, I mean, that's just a thought that you're having. You've said it for
Right.
so long, right? You've said it for
Exactly.
so long. It's your go-to.
Yeah. It was when my parents paid me $5, or they said they'd buy me a horse if I would lose 5 pounds. And I was probably 7. And I went to the doctor soon after that. And he looked at me. We had to get in our underwear. And he looked at me and he said, "You need to work for a cart." And right now, I just want to say, fuck you, Dr. Halliday. Fuck you every way possible. That
Yeah.
is a terrible thing to say to somebody.
Yeah. So what could you say instead of you're listen. You're fat, I'm fat. You've thought that thought since way back then. You're not going to shut it off. I'm here to tell you.
Okay, then help me find a way to manage it.
Okay. So when you hear it, what do you want to remind yourself?
That it was somebody's opinion. I was going over this last night. It was somebody's opinion, which doesn't make it a fact. It was how people talked to people back then. I don't know if people talk that, or if doctors talk that way to people now. I read in some Facebook things, some awful things, the experiences that people have with their doctors. That it's not a fact. That's as far as I've been able to take it with on my own power with doing something about it. That's why I raised my hand. I
Okay.
took my hand down, then I raised my hand again.
Okay. I have the solve. It's literally just a conversation that you have to practice. So you look in the mirror, you're standing there, and you're like, you're fat. Listen, it's normal that I keep thinking that because I've thought it for a long time. It's not true. I'm at my goal weight. This is where I wanted to be. I have a normal body, a normal stomach for someone my age. It's just my habit word. Just like we were talking about with the first person, like walk into the pantry, she goes on autopilot. Your brain is going to offer up, I'm fat, because it's what it's done for so long when you stood in the mirror first. You know now it was an opinion. You know now it's not a fact. But your brain hasn't gotten on board that that's just not what you're going to call yourself anymore. And it's just going to keep doing it. And I always use the example, y'all, people that have been around for a minute be like, bitch, you tell this story all the time. It's like if you have a toddler that keeps running off from you in the Target parking lot, you go get the toddler and you bring it back. And then it jerks away. At some point, you don't be like, fine, get hit. I don't give a shit. I'm done with you. It's like, are you willing to hear the word fat 100 more times and go after it? As you change your relationship, and the word fat will not be as loud. You'll notice that the temperature is turning down on it. My go-to word was tired. I always would tell myself I was tired. I would first wake up and be like, I was tired. And then at one point, I'm like, am I really tired? I don't know. Like, it was just always like my word. And I'd be like, well, I'm just so tired. I'm just tired. I'm tired. And I'm like, you just slept 8 hours. You can't be tired. And so then finally, I was like, I just keep telling myself I'm tired. I've slept enough. And now I don't tell myself I'm tired anymore, unless I'm actually tired. But that was just my, I always would go to that when it was something I didn't want to do. You know, I'd be sitting at this desk, past PT, trying to figure out how to build a fucking website, be like, I'm just so tired. You're not tired. You just don't want to do this thing. You just always use tired, and that's okay. But you're not tired. And now I don't say it anymore. It's like, look in the mirror. You're so fat. You're fat. No, you know what? I'm actually at my goal weight. That's just a word I've used for a long time. It's actually not true anymore.
I'm at my life goal. The whole life goal thing was such a freeing concept for me. It kind of got ahead of the weight loss thing. I thought I was coming here to lose weight, and what I got was a whole different way to live this part of my life that doesn't have to do with getting to a number or getting to, a pant size.
You're trying to get to a life.
But I am at that life, and it's like I want to have all of this now because I'm finally free from chasing a fucking number or a pant size.
Yeah.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Okay.
And hearing that word is not a problem. Believing that word is the problem.
I'm not fat because I'm free now. That's why I'm not fat, because I'm free. It's another F word, free.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And congratulations. I'm going to tell you, if you still have a lot of thoughts about your tummy, we have in the pathways, there's a relationships course. It's written to work on a relationship with someone in your life. I have done that course on myself. I have done that course on my mama. I am currently going through that course again with my daughter who just got married. Like, not with her, but like, I'm doing the shit with her in mind. You can do it with your stomach.
Okay.
Like, what are the thoughts you have about your stomach? It goes through just change it to your stomach instead of to the other person.
I saw the relationships things and I thought, yeah, that doesn't apply to me. Oh yes, it apparently does.
But you
Okay.
can do it on anything, right? And like, as things go by, like my daughter and I had a great, my middle baby, she just got married in November. And they live like 4 hours away. And she used to call me every day. She's not calling, like, I'm not her first call anymore. She calls her husband now, which is normal, and it's what I wanted, but it still hurts my little mama heart. And I'm wanting to work through the thoughts I have about that. So I'm like going back through it again with this relationship, but you can really do it with anything. You can do it with a relationship with binging. You can do it with the relationship with your stomach. I've even done it. My father has passed away, and I did it on my relationship with him, not trying to improve my relationship with him, but there was a lot of stuff left hurt and unsaid. So you can use that to work through a lot of stuff.
I will definitely look into it. Thanks for highlighting that. All right. Thank you
Well,
so much.
welcome. I mean, shit, Jerry. You joined 7 weeks ago, got to goal weight, working through the maintenance course. Like,
Yes,
fast track to no BS.
I'm blessed. I am blessed.
Yeah.
Way more than I would be if I lost 15 pounds. This has blessed me. All right. Thank you
And
so
go
much.
check out the events. Like, even if you don't
I
want to join
will.
us in Nashville, I say sign up for the virtual because
Okay.
after next Sunday, prices go up.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
Bye.
you.
They've moved the things. I'm telling y'all, this Zoom is like, I don't even understand it. Everything is moving around. iPhone Tracy is next. That was such a good call, too. Y'all are bringing it today. Y'all have some good questions today. Good coaching. Things I think everybody need to hear. It's making me do everything twice. I don't like that. I don't, why is this not working? I'm hitting the button, Zoom. I don't under, oh, it's coming. Somebody said, I saw something about a skinny mirror. There's a long, thin mirror in my bathroom that was here when we bought the house. My daughter was in the second grade. She's now in her second year of college. It's just back there. I like the design of it. I left it there. It's just a long, like a mirror. And then when I look at it, like my face is thin. I don't know. It's just been there. I didn't on purpose buy a skinny mirror. Tracy, I am trying my damnedest to get you up here and it is not working. I know I'm not an interior decorator or anything. So pretty much what I decorated my house at, that won't, we've been talking about painting our cabinets for about 3 years. Oh, Tracy, you're declining to be. I just keep asking, asking. Jenia, I'm going to promote you now. I'm going to lower your hand, Tracy, because it looks like you don't want to be coming on. All right.
Hi, MJ. Sorry, I just went to help a kid. I wasn't expecting when you called the last person. It was, okay, I have
You're
time.
like, I got time. Tell
I
me
got
how to
time.
say your name.
It's Genia.
Like Eugenia.
Yes, without the U.
Oh my God. Like on Gone with the Wind. You know what was Scarlett's child's name?
Oh, I don't know.
Eugenia
I don't remember.
Victoria. Eugenia Victoria. That was her
Yeah.
name. I love trivia, by the way. All right.
Thanks for calling on me. You're rocking it today, and I'm like so impressed with the members that have been coached so far, as far as like their transparency and their willingness to show up. So thank you to those people as well. So I want coaching on riding the wave through the very loud, persistent chatter in my decision, or like countering my decision that I want to cut alcohol out of my life.
Okay.
So I've done this in the past. I remember that it was like that the volume of unhelpful thoughts got really, really loud before I did
Yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And then I sort of slid back into having some drinks, and I want to cut it out again. And it's like, so I'm not drinking like a scary amount or anything like that, but it feels almost like binging, like where I'm like it feels like I'm not even sure what to how to describe how it feels, but saying that it feels like it's binging is true. And I'm not generally a binger with food. Like I can remember like twice in the past 3 years that I have had a day that was kind of bingey. Like so.
Okay.
So I know that it's normal, but I'm having a hard time making the leap.
Why do you want to cut out drinking?
Because I mean, in no BS language, it is a bad food. Like it doesn't agree with my body. I don't like how it makes me feel. It's not in line with my goals. It doesn't just not serve me. It is counter to, like, it's bad for me.
Okay. So when you So are you currently trying to like none?
I would like to just I yeah, none, because even after one drink, I can feel the like my body is not grateful to me for that choice.
Okay.
Once I have one drink, then I'm far more likely to have more that I didn't intend on. And so it and there doesn't seem to be any like maybe I'll come to a point in my life where I feel like I would benefit in some way from adding in a drink here or there, but it's not now.
Okay. So are you currently not drinking at all?
No, I currently am drinking.
Okay. Have you tried to level up as a step down?
Yes. And I think the problem with that is just the effect of alcohol is to lower your inhibitions. And so, like, I have the best of intentions, but after, I have that one drink, I'm going to drink more. And I have had a spread of days that I don't drink at all, and that's great, but it's this chatter of all stuff that I know is actually not true, but doesn't stop being really loud and compelling.
Okay, so what if I tell you as of 12:28 Eastern time on Sunday, March 24th, no more drinks? What comes up for you?
Tightness in my chest, a little bit of panic, which is doesn't make any sense to me, actually. Like, I know that I am much happier and feel much better, even more joyful and more joyful, more energetic, more at peace. Like,
What are you currently using alcohol for? Like, what does it give you?
so the story I tell myself about what it gives me, even though I know it's not actually true, checking out, which is actually true. It does, like, it definitely makes me check out because it makes me tired. But I have also proven to myself that I can ignore my children and my husband and lie down on the couch for 15 minutes without the drink, so I can check out without. But I also tell myself that it is like a reward, that it's celebratory, that it's a way of connecting with people. I think those are the big ones.
What happens if you don't drink? How are you going to connect with people?
In the same way I do when I drink. Like, I know all of this is not true.
Okay.
I feel like I have done so much work on this that what I it feels very dramatic in those moments. But I feel a little bit like I'm watching one of my kids have a tantrum insofar as
Exactly what it, yeah, 100%.
like I am it feels like all the chatter in my head is very dramatic, but then there's also this other side of me that is like telling the other story and is like super calm and just being like, oh, I'm sorry that you're having a temper tantrum, but really the sky is not falling. But I need some sort of like, I don't know whether it's a pattern interrupt or a strategy or like some sort of thing that I'm prepared to do because I'm missing some step. Like
Okay. Yeah, for
something's
sure.
not clicking.
So are you just managing it with your thoughts?
I
Trying to have the back and forth conversation? Like you're not gonna drink and then you are, and then but you know, and then you tell yourself this story. Okay. One thing though that you've got is this panic sort of like this heightened the feelings are coming up. So it's not the necessarily the thoughts, but it is giving yourself permission to know that these thoughts and feelings are normal. It is what your brain is going to do when you're offering change. And it goes to that, like, I would almost listen. Have you ever listened to Trusting Your Body?
I like maybe 2 years ago, and not enough that I even remember if
I
I've
would
done
go back through that. There's like a workbook. What's it called, Lizzie? Like the little toolkit or whatever. I would pull some tools from that.
Oh, Trusting Your Body was Jane's course, right?
Jane's course.
Yes, I have done that. And one of the things that I think like when I think about the tightness in my chest and the feelings of panic, one of the things that I think is connected to that is that there is absolutely, it's an effective drug in taking you above from above home base to below home base.
Yeah.
And that not having that tool is the thing I think that is like really ultimately trips me up, which is why I think I need some other like strategy or pattern
The
interrupt.
toolkit, right? She's talking about binging, but you're talking about alcohol. But one of the main things for you, I think, is like hand on heart. Like, I knew this was going to happen. Of course, I feel panic. I'm about to make a change. I have a very dramatic story about it. The truth is, here's why I'm making this decision right now. And it's going to feel a little bit uncomfortable. And it's like that, it's not screaming new thoughts to think. It is that creating safety in the moment, which is what bingers do. Right? It's the same thing. And if you are above home base, a lot of times it is just that like calming, centering of yourself, breathing, reminding yourself that it is normal, and trying to turn the temperature down just a little bit.
Okay, great. I will do that course.
I would just do it like it's like a lot, like I was just talking about relationship with your stomach. Alcohol with trusting your body, using that toolkit, like all these courses and stuff. Like, if you just open up your mind a little bit, like, are you do a discovery worksheet? If you overdrink, we also have like, I don't necessarily know that you need to go. We have that drinking course that Angela Macinic did. I would recommend listening to her podcast 100%. But there's an alcohol planning sheet in that course that you could print out and just, it's a weekly plan sheet. And it is committing to no drinks this week. And just write, like, just, even though you're not going to have any, making that contract and that commitment to yourself, reminding yourself where you're going, I think is
I do
so
that on
important.
plan every day.
But give your, like, what day do you sort of have some space on your calendar? Like Sundays, is that sort of like where you're thinking about the week and doing all that kind of stuff? I would print out that Angela Macinic's, the weekly alcohol planning sheet. It just take 5 minutes and write it down that, you know, Monday, no drinks, Tuesday, no drinks, Wednesday, no drinks. And then take a little bit of time to write why that is so important to you. And I want you to, this is a lot of it too for our whys. When you describe why do you want to stop drinking? It doesn't feel good in my body. Like you listed everything you don't want. I want you to list out everything you do want. I want to wake up refreshed in the morning. I want to find another, like, it's important for me to find another way to tune out. It's very important for me. I want to figure out what connection looks like. Like, go to the positive. We do that a lot for weight loss as well. We spend a lot. I don't want to have diabetes. I don't want to die young. I don't want to, like, you know, shop in big girl clothes shops anymore. It's like moving toward what do you want? Why is it so important? What are you going to get out of it? And just switching to more future focus, what will it give you? Not what will it take away? You know, it'll take away like this anxious feeling that I have when I'm overwhelmed and stressed out in the evenings. It'll take away social anxiety. It's like, but where will it take you? Where are you going on the journey?
Yeah, I do those things. I can do more of that. And I'll definitely do the trusting your body course, because I think what you're saying about like hand on heart and just like the toolkit there, I think is exactly what I need. It's like the moment when my nervous system is quivery.
And you have amazing thoughts and you have amazing whys. It's just, how can I turn it down a notch in the moment and like bring myself back down?
Yeah, it that's exactly it. Like it feels the chatter is so loud at the time. It's almost like when you are witnessing somebody having like a really angry argument, like the discomforts that you like the nervousness kind of thing that like you'll do almost anything to kind of get out of that situation. That's how I feel.
So you just need that safety piece, that like, it's okay. I hear you. It feels like it's big right now. And just that piece, like bringing it down just a little bit.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, thank you so much. Okay.
You're so welcome. All right. Good luck. Let us know how it's going.
I will.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Jamie, I will promote you to panelists. That was a good call too, y'all. I mean, it is really just opening up to what else. And use ask coaches. Like, if you're like, what tools? I know it's not weight loss related, but I'm having these thoughts or this thing is going on. Like, what tools do we have? You can literally use, at one point, you know, me and the Zon were having apparently an affair, the Amazon. And I started using the daily plan sheet to plan my purchases on Amazon. And if I shopped and did not plan on shopping that day, I would fill out a discovery worksheet. I used it for the Amazon for shopping. Like, you can literally use it for whatever and work on different, you know, just different things. All right, Jamie.
Hi.
Hello. What are we coaching on?
So I've been in no BS for 1.5 years, and this first time coaching.
Oh my God, the rash of y'all today.
I am really struggling with I have lost 0 weight. So I might go down about 1.5 pounds, and then right back up the next week. So, and it happened again this week. So I tried the 12-week challenge. Nothing there. I've been planning every day and
Okay.
assessing every day. I have been doing the deep dive weekly data worksheets. I can see that I am not good with my water at all. I'm not hitting 64 ounces because I love sweet tea. That's kind of my vice, I guess.
Okay.
So I work at a school in the health room. So I will eat breakfast at like 6 a.m. and then I might try to eat some pretzels about 9:15, 9:30, because between 10:45 and 1 is when all the kids have recess and lunch, and I'm super busy. Sometimes I don't even eat lunch until 1:30. Sometimes it's 4 before I get to actually eat. So to keep me kind of going through the day, I rely on sweet tea. I don't like water. I have a real hard time getting that in. I have leveled up from zero water to 16 ounces of water in the morning. I've
Okay.
tried this week, or this last month, I've tried making a deal with myself. Okay, you're going to drink 20 ounces of water before you can have any sweet tea throughout the day. And I end up downing it within like the first hour I'm there, so then I don't feel so great. I need help in the discouragement, I think. And one of my coworkers, she owns her own fitness nutrition business and is always like, oh, you shouldn't be drinking all that sweet tea. Oh, you
Okay.
really ought to, you know, like, so that's in my head too of, oh, you should be joining my program. And why are you spending so much money going to a camp on body shaming when I won't charge you that much? And, you know,
Okay.
so yeah.
Well, you are 100% on paperwork. You good girl. Filling out papers, true school teacher right here.
Yep.
I got 100 check on filling out my worksheets.
Yep.
What about doable hunger?
Yeah. So I doable hunger, not so well. Being that I work in the school, you know, people are bringing in food all the time. I've gotten better. About like, no, I don't really want that. But it's hard when, you know, they bring in all the food and you're like, oh, well, I don't want to disappoint people,
Who would
so
be
I'll just eat it.
disappointed?
Well,
Who
right?
would be? I want to know. Who are you going to disappoint if you don't eat them ratty ass cookies from the Publix? Who's going to be crying?
Well, you know, it's they go out of their way to, you know.
To go by the Publix and the self-checkout and
Right.
buy the cookies. I mean,
Yeah. So,
are they standing there with a like, do they have, okay, I was the president of the PTA at one point. Did you know that? I've had a lot of
no.
jobs. I've worn a lot of hats in this life of mine. And nary a time, I've had three children that went through school all the way through. All of them graduated high school. Never have I ever hosted a lunch for the teachers or a snack or whatever, where I was sitting there with the teacher roster making a check. Well, Jamie, I hadn't seen you eat anything. I guess you are not, you know what? At Christmas, you're getting another mug, bitch. Getting a mug. Sarah, good job, Sarah. She ate a cookie from Publix. She's getting a Starbucks gift card. Good job, Sarah. Who's doing that?
Nobody.
You know what? I remember that first week of school. I remember Miss Evans. She did not eat my cookie. You know what? She's off my list. She's been teaching my kids all year. Done with her.
Yeah.
Just asking. Who's going to be disappointed?
Yeah. Me, because then I gain all the weight.
Yeah, but who's, I mean, I really want to go down this because this is a conversation that is getting you into that teacher workroom and eating the shit. I don't want them to be disappointed. Who is them and how are you going to disappoint them? And are them going to even know that you didn't eat it?
No, because they're not there, they just drop it off and they leave. So, I
Right. Like
mean,
we got to go through that whole rationale that you've built in your head and dispel it.
I think it's just, I mean, growing up, we were always taught like if somebody did something nice for you and brought you something, then to thank them, you ate whatever it was. And so I think
Is that
that's
true? I know that's what you were
no.
taught.
Right.
Is that true?
No.
No. It's okay for them to have been wrong about that. It's okay. And I'm going down this hole with you. Nursing home and slash rehab. Don't think there wasn't shit always in the gym. Always. It's food ever. And I didn't have to leave the room. I could put a patient on a bike, just walk over there and eat the whole time, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
This is in a room with me. I could smell it and I could see it.
Like, yeah. And I think too, because in the health room, like, I don't actually like leave to take a lunch. I eat at my desk because I may have five patients that day, or I may have 60. It just depends on who gets injured on the playground. And sometimes it's like, oh, I'm gonna go eat. Oh, guess what? Nope, you're not, because some kid just cut their head open on the playground. And so that's what I do is I'm like, okay, now I'm starving. I don't want my sandwich that I brought. So I'm gonna go get sweet tea, or I'm gonna go to the teacher's lounge and see what I can find.
That's very good to know. That is very good to know. So you are, it's just, I'm starving. I don't want this sandwich. Why does that matter that you
Right.
don't want the sandwich? Who cares? Why does it
I
matter
don't
you
know. It's
want the
just
sandwich in the moment? What does going to the teacher's lounge to eat whatever shit people picked over and don't want anymore? Why is that better than the sandwich?
I don't know. I don't know.
What does it give you to get up and go to the teacher's lounge?
I guess it gives me like a little break and I don't know, I'm looking for something to fulfill the uncomfortableness of whatever just happened in the health office or just a release, a break.
Okay. What happens if you just get up and walk around? Make sure
I
nobody's
guess
spontaneously bleeding.
nothing. Like I just feel like I'm supposed to be at my desk, and if I'm not there, then other people have to I might let them down because I'm not at my desk and they're gonna have to, do my job, which is not true because I have started taking walks with my coworker. She's the one that actually, the fitness one, who will actually be like, let's go for a walk. And I'm like, okay. And
But
we'll just
why is
go
it
for a
wrong to
quick.
get up and go for a walk, but it's okay to get up and leave your office to go get food?
Because to get food, it's just very short distance. It's just right down the stairs. Versus if I go for a walk, I'm walking around, down the hall and into the high school building and around. And I just feel like I should be there, in case I'm needed. Like, I don't want people to feel like I'm slacking on my job.
Okay. How long are you gone from your office to go to the workroom, the teacher break room?
Less than 5 minutes.
Okay. Could you get up and just, what does it look like to get up and move around for 5 minutes and not go to the break room? In that 5 minutes, you're just like, I'm just going to walk back and forth up and down the hall. What would happen?
Nothing.
What do you think would happen? What do you tell yourself would happen?
That some kid's gonna like split their head open and bleed everywhere and or need a paramedic or I'm gonna have to call somebody or
Okay.
gonna
Why is it okay?
inconvenience
Why is it
others.
okay to leave your office for 5 minutes to go to the break room, but not to walk up and down the hall?
I don't know.
I know. Can I answer for you? Because I already know the thought. Mean, I have to eat.
Okay.
Nobody's going to
Yeah.
fault me for not starving myself. Everybody else
Right.
gets a lunch break. I get these 5 minutes. So if somebody comes in bleeding and I was going to get food, it's going to be okay. They're not going to fault me for that. I've coached just enough teachers. I coached for 2 years. I had a private client, worked in an office. Answering phones at school, right? And so that was her thing too. You never know when the phone's going to ring. You never know when somebody's going to walk in. You never know when this thing is going to happen, but they will not fault me if I'm going to get food.
Right.
What about put your lunch box in the break room whenever you get to school? Then you can walk in there and get your lunch.
Yeah. Because right now it's in my desk.
Yeah. And the only way that you're allowing yourself to step away from your desk is to go into the break room, which is a trigger for you.
Right.
That's the only destination that is worthy of leaving your office. And what happens if you go in the break room and nobody dropped anything off? Or do they, is there always something there?
No, usually I'll just go back, but our cafeteria, I usually don't get the food, but they opened up the fountain drinks, and so now that's where I get the sweet tea. Before they opened it, I wasn't doing sweet tea. I was doing a like a latte that I would stop and get on my way to school. And so,
Okay.
once that was done, then I was done for the day. But now that they've opened up the sweet tea, it's readily available. And so I'll just walk my butt down to the cafeteria, get a sweet tea, and walk back maybe 5 times a day.
Yeah, because they don't want you to be dehydrated.
Right.
I'm going to get a drink, so that's okay.
Right. Or my our front desk lady, her and I will both get drinks, and so like I'll either bring her one or she'll finish her drink and she'll be like, I'm gonna go get a refill for us, and so she'll bring it.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's the thought of like what actually happens when you leave. How many times that you're gone these 5 times a day have you walked back into your office and a child was there near death?
Zero. I mean,
How
usually I'll
many
have to
times
be
have you
sick,
gone to the
but
break room and came back and a child is there near death?
zero. Usually it's just a minor thing. And if it's
How many
something
times
really, really bad, they'll call me.
has your friend said, "Hey, let's go for a walk," and you walked into the high school building and you came back and did all that stuff, that a child has been near death?
Zero.
That's what you need to work on. I keep telling myself that something terrible's going to happen if I leave my desk, and the truth is, that's simply not true.
Yeah, because the previous health tech, she doesn't work there anymore, but I still talk to her. I asked her, I said, how often did you like go for walks? She goes, oh, I was always going for walks. They called me, I had the walkie, I had the radio, and everything was good. I was always out and about. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I just stay at my desk.
And it's
So.
that conversation that needs to be had. And in the day, how many minutes a day, hours during the school day, are you engaging with a kid who is either sick or coming to take their meds?
For the most part, between, I mean, I'll have spattering here and there, but typically it's between 10:45 and 1 is when I see the most. And then between 2 and 2:30 when they're all out at recess again.
Okay. So when you eat breakfast before you go to work, are you hungry?
Yes.
Okay. And then you eat again at, are you hungry when you have the pretzels?
Yeah, I'm starting to get a little bit hungry, but I've also, some of that too is I know if I don't eat
Yeah,
something,
that is part. I mean,
then
if you, yeah, because you got a long break, like teachers, shift
I
workers,
know.
school,
Yeah.
right? Okay, and then you have that period of time. Then when everybody goes out to recess and does or whatever, when they're all done, or they're coming back into class, whatever it is, are you truly hungry?
At that point, not really.
What would happen if you delayed eating at that point?
Well, then what usually happens if I don't eat at like 1:30, then I'll forget because I'm not, not
You're
starving.
hungry, yeah.
Then it'll be 3 or 4 o'clock when I get home. And by that point, I'm like ravenous. And so then I start eating everything in the house.
Between 1:30 and when you leave school, if you've taken a sandwich, is there a break that you could grab half of your sandwich if you get hungry?
Yeah.
Right. Why not try that?
Okay.
And everybody's blowing up about the sweet tea. And I'm like, you're overeating all the time. Like, we got to pick our battles, right? Now, I do have some suggestions for the sweet tea. When you go in there, is sweet tea, is there like a sweet and an unsweet sweet tea, or is it only sweet tea?
It's only the sweet.
It's only a
It's
sweet
like
tea.
pop and then sweet tea.
Okay, good to know. Now, do you have, what size cup are you getting the sweet tea in?
16 ounces.
16 ounces. Do they have an 8 ounce option? or a smaller
No.
12 ounce option?
Mm-mm.
What would it look like to only fill it up halfway when you go get it filled? And I'm about to ruin some of y'all that are talking about like that love the environment and things. You know, they have the tiny water bottles that are like 6 ounces or 8 ounces, the little tiny ones. In between sweet teas, you drink that much.
Okay.
Get a bunch of them, leaving me a desk.
Okay.
Because I think what you're doing is like that all or nothing. So I want you to see what Jamie's, it's like, I'm going to drink 20 ounces before I can have sweet tea. And that sucks. Like she's like, it sucks. I don't feel good after I do it. If that is what is happening, how long do you think Jamie can keep that up? Probably not a long time. But if you're like, it could be when I get up, you don't have sweet tea in the morning, right?
I mean, I do my I do 16 ounces of water now,
Okay.
first thing in the morning, and then I make my own. I have green tea, and then I use Truvia, and I'll try to drink a little bit of that before I go to work. But usually, by the time I drink my 16 ounces of water, and I'm getting ready for school, I'm not real thirsty.
Okay. How much is in them little cup? Is it 8 ounces? Is that what's in those little things?
Of the sweet
Those
tea that
little
I make.
tiny, no, the little tiny waters. Who knows how much is
Oh,
in there?
maybe 8 ounces.
8 ounces. Thank you. All right, math people. She's going down there five times. What's 8 times 5? 40. I did
Okay.
it right off the top of my head. If you did that, that is 56 ounces a day. And then if you had one more on your way home from work, that's 64.
Okay.
Problem solved.
Okay.
Because 40 with the 16 in the morning, one more little one on your way home, bam, we've got water.
Okay.
Just like that.
Okay.
So that solves your water problem. The problem you have is all the, I'm going to disappoint them. If somebody brings something, I need to make sure that I eat it so that they, if y'all hear that dog squeaking his fucking toy, he is literally at my door. He's wanting me to come play. And he's loud as fuck. To me, hopefully not to you. And then it's doable. That's why you're not losing weight. It's like, but I got 100% on my paperwork, MJ.
Right.
That paperwork does not create weight loss. Doable hunger creates weight loss. I
Okay.
have a shocker. The plan doesn't even create weight loss. The weekly plan does not create weight loss. Weight loss is created when you are sitting at your office and you're like, oh, finally, my rush hour is over. All the children have settled back. I should eat, but wait, I'm not hungry.
Right.
Oh, what do I do now? I'm supposed to eat, but I'm not hungry. Could I have some water? Could I go on my little 5 minute walk on my own? Come back to my desk. If I'm still hungry, I'll eat half my sandwich. If I think I'm
Okay.
hungry, I will eat my sandwich. It's
Okay.
those little micro decisions that create weight loss. It is catching those thoughts.
Okay.
You are at you're in a very unique position where you can have some paper on your desk. And a lot of times it's very good even just to like jot down some of those old shitty thoughts you have. Because seeing them on, I don't want to disappoint anybody. Who am I disappointing?
Right.
They'll think bad of me if I don't. Who will think bad of me? Ain't nobody monitoring me. Something
Right.
terrible may happen if I leave my desk. Well, that's never happened before. And I got the walkie, so we're good.
I can't
Right. afford to be away from my desk. Well, I've already talked to the last nurse, and she said she walked all the time. Nothing terrible happened.
Right.
And so far, I have no, it's that sort of conversation. Because you are in a unique position where you can have a pad of paper and you can just jot it down.
Right.
Can see what is going on in your brain, in your mind. And then you can write in to ask coaches
Yeah.
and take all of them there and work through that. Because what would it even look like? Like, I'm not asking you to work on both sides of doable hunger. Notice nowhere did I say stop it enough.
Right.
Nowhere have I really said, even you can drink as much sweet tea as you want. I have offered you waiting for hunger, and
Right.
how can I still drink all this sweet tea and increase my water?
Right.
Imagine what would happen if you did that.
Yeah.
Right?
I think
That
that's
would
where
make a
some of
big
the,
difference. Yeah.
I think that's where some of the pushback of giving up the sweet tea comes too, is when I did Weight Watchers, I had to give it up completely. And so, of course, like I'm like, I don't eat ice cream because I can't, because I'm dairy lactose intolerant. I don't drink alcohol. I'm doing pretty good with the sweets, but except for my one vice is sweet tea. And then like, I don't want to give it up again.
And here would be my next suggestion of a level up. If you want like next level, I wouldn't do it yet. I would leave everything just like it is.
Yeah.
Am I hungry? Increase your water while you still drink your tea. Another thing that you may want to do is like make a small container of decaf unsweet tea.
Okay.
And then you can get your 16 ounces at some point, only fill it halfway up, stop back by the teacher's lounge. And fill it, top it off with that. I mean, then you
Okay.
basically cut your sweet tea in half.
Yeah.
Like, how can I make this work and not cut out my sweet tea?
Right.
And there may come a day when you cut out your sweet tea. There may not come a day that you cut out. I don't know. But I do know if you get 64 ounces of water, and if you at least ask, am I hungry? The scale will start to move. I know that.
Okay.
I know that. I mean, I promise you that will happen.
Okay.
And the other people are saying she could do better than pretzels. Yes, you could get a 100-calorie snack pack of almonds or nuts. That's what I used to do all the time because I could keep it in my pocket and eat it walking down the hall.
Okay.
But if that's not where you are, I mean, that's not the problem. I mean, it's not like I'll keep overeating and drink all the sweet tea, but if I just change those pretzels out for almonds, weight's probably going to fall off. That's not what's going to happen.
Okay.
It's the overeating, it's the not getting, because you're going to have more urges. I mean, because the caffeine and the sugar and all that kind of stuff probably trigger more urges for you as well.
Okay.
So just making sure you get that water in too is going to help with that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm headed to the grocery store after this, so I'll get some of those little bottles of water.
And I would do that just for a little bit. You can even refill them if you want to. Y'all probably have some kind of filtered water. Just
Yeah.
make, buy one pack of them and then you can just keep them at your desk and then just go refill three or four or five of them every day.
Okay. Thank you so much. This has been so helpful.
You are so welcome. And I want, like, I think that this is the good thing about getting coached and using ask coaches because you were only thinking about all of the reasons it was hard.
Right.
But now we see that there are some simple solutions that we can offer that you can start to try
Right.
to get it moving and let us help you. I mean, that's what we're here for, right? Like, that's what we're here for. Let us help you. All righty. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
All right, y'all. That was very good. I mean, those were all really good calls. And I think, especially that last one, look, I have been there with y'all medical workers. I have been there with your teachers. I have been there. I have been there. Have to eat on a schedule. You don't know what's going to happen. All of that kind of stuff. It is like, how can I make this work for me? I used to, y'all always know my story, but I said, not on my plan, not in my mouth, not on my ass, so many times that they would start to offer me stuff at work. And then they would be like, I know, not on my plan, not in my mouth, not on my ass. And they would make fun of me. But I said it so often. I was like, no, it's a no. I'm not doing that. I don't want that. But y'all, I will tell you the hardest thing, y'all don't know hard until, you know, because I worked, there was OTs and we had a full kitchen and they bring those little old people in that are trying to go home and rehab because they want to go home and be independent. And they used to make banana bread and muffins and all kinds of stuff. And those sweet little old ladies and little men would say, look what I made. Don't you want one? Look, I haven't done this in months. Don't you want one? And you know what I said to those sweet people? I would love one. Let me pack it up. I'm not hungry right now. And I would take it home. Sometimes I would eat it. Sometimes I would throw it away. And nary a feeling was hurt. Nary a feeling was hurt. All right, y'all. I want y'all to have a great week. Thank y'all for hanging out with me today. And I will see y'all inside the membership. Bye, y'all.